Well, the subject we're going to tackle this morning is called Can I Trust God? Can I Trust God? A four-year-old spilled his drink on the kitchen floor and wanted to clean up the mess himself. So his mum told him that the mop was just outside the back door, leaning against the fence, and he ran to the door, but it was dark outside. And suddenly, scared, he told his mum he was too frightened to go out in the dark. And she said, well, that's all right, because Jesus is everywhere, even in dark places. And he could always trust in Jesus. So he was really reassured, and he opened the door just enough to put his head out and shouted out, Jesus, if you're there, please could you pass me the mop? And when you're four, trusting God seems so simple, doesn't it? But most of us here today are complicated adults, and we've lived long enough to know that life can be difficult at times, and sometimes we've prayed and we've seen results, and sometimes we've prayed and nothing has changed. Can we still trust God? Well, being a Christian in a non-Christian environment poses all kinds of problems. The world does not know Jesus. The world does not love Jesus. The world does not understand why Jesus came. Now, many of you here today, on the other hand, do know Jesus. You believe that he came to save you from your sins and give you new life. You believe that he came to give you peace and joy in the Spirit. You believe that he came so that you might have fellowship with God, who came to show the way to life eternal. And if there is anyone here who hasn't yet repented of their sin and committed their life to Jesus Christ, then that's the first step towards trusting God that you need to take. But I know that lots here have already taken that initial step of trusting Christ as their Saviour. And they also know that although you're saved from sin and filled with the Spirit of God, life in this world is still not perfect. It is still difficult. There are days and situations where things don't always seem to work out right. And the Christian is in a battle with the world. The world is at war with the Christian, whether you like it or not, and frankly, whether you believe it or not. The world offers many temptations to try and take us off God's narrow path. It wants to tempt us back into unholy living. The world is against you, and the evil one is at war with you. You better believe it if you're going to make any progress at all. And in the daily battle, there are all sorts of struggles. On the inside, for example, you struggle against sin, pride, lust, greed, boasting, selfishness, doubts and unbelief, to name but a few. And on the outside, you've got all sorts of other things coming at you, illness, poverty, maybe employment issues, family issues, uncertainty over the future, and perhaps financial worries. Maybe there are people here this morning right now facing a serious struggle, or perhaps you've had to cope with a very hard situation just a little while back. Now, as a Christian, what do you do when life is really challenging, when there seems to be no way out and you're not terribly interested in going forward, but you can't get off the bus? Do you know what I mean? You think it's taking you in the wrong direction, but you can't get off it. When your relationship with God seems to be affected, when you're worried or afraid or in distress, what can you do? Can you still trust God? Let's look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, A great prophet has risen up amongst us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. You know, Jesus told the woman to stop weeping because Jesus knew that God was bigger than her problem. Who is God to you? Is God big or is God small? Do you see God as all powerful or a wimp? As a follower of Jesus, do you believe God loves you and is for you? Or does God just love everybody else and put up with you? You see, how you perceive God affects how you respond to God. So, and I want to encourage you to trust God, because he is holy, he is a king, he is all powerful, and because he loves you very much. You should trust God and not fear, not only because of who he is, but because what God has already done. In Luke 7, verse 16, after the young man was raised to life, we're told, God has visited his people. He visited Abraham. He promised that Abraham would become a great nation. He visited Moses at the burning bush and raised him up to deliver his people from bondage. He visited his people at the Red Sea and parted it. Then God raised up Joshua to take the land, and God planted them in the land of Israel that they might bear fruit as his chosen people, and worship him, honor him, serve him, and prepare the way for the Messiah. And then God visited his people in the person of Jesus, the Messiah. And today he visits us through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, if we could only get it into our heads that the Holy Spirit is with us when we go out into the week, and not just with us for a funny 5 minutes on a Sunday morning if there's a tongue or somebody prophesies and then that's it for another week or two. And if only we could get it into our heads that this same Holy Spirit is with us and empowers the believer and wants to be with the believer and can speak to the believer in the day-to-day situations of life, it would be really, really helpful. And I think we all forget, don't we? I find nothing more irritating if I've got a problem and then some well-meaning person in the church, maybe like Sheila Duffel or somebody like that, says, have you prayed about it? You want to hit them. Do you ever feel like that? But you know what I mean, don't you? Because sometimes when you've got a problem, you know God's going to do it for everybody else. You're just not sure about whether or not he's going to do it for you. And I think all of us, well, I could be very much like that. And I feel that there are probably other people in the church like that too. So what do you do when you come up against issues of trust in the form of trials and tribulations? Do you praise God? Do you put your trust in him? Do you give thanks to him? And sometimes it's good that we do. I was describing in the staff room the other day, I won't go into all the details here, but the other day Pat and I faced the worst mess and muddle we'd ever faced with Andrew in the whole of his life. And as we together, I was so glad we were both in, I have to say, and as we tried to clear all of this up, I said to Pat as she was holding a bucket, are we counting it all joy? And, you know, we both had a little chuckle at that, at it all. Because, you know, it's when we come up against problems and trials and tribulations, that's when we've got to count it all joy. That's when we've got to say, well, this is what your word says. You must think I can cope with all this stuff, or you wouldn't keep sending it my way. Because God is a loving heavenly father to his children. So do we praise God? Can we put our trust in him? Can we give thanks to him in the different situations of life? You know, I think it is often the case that the true character of a believer only emerges when problems occur. Mark, you'll see this down the years, believe me, in the church, but you notice this at weddings. Especially at weddings, the true character of people always emerges at a wedding. You heard it from me. You can tell a lot about the character of a person from the wedding and all that happens and how they go about it, one thing and another. And sometimes the true character of a believer really emerges when problems occur. What do you do? Do you panic? Do you complain? Do you begin to doubt and then run for a quick fix to the pub, to a sin, maybe to television, or a very British fix? Let's not talk about it. Or do you go to the Lord in prayer and humility and praise and trust and do your best to refuse to give fear and worry any place? You know, if we can trust in the Lord and not fear, we can do that not only because of who he is and what he's already done, but also because of what God will do. Unless God has changed, his words of promise are still the same. And he still says, come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He still says, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. He still says that his words will not pass away. He still says that he is capable and will raise us up on the last day. He still says that he will return in the clouds and every eye will see him. There are loads of promises that we can rely on and we can trust the Lord about. Because of who God is and what God has already done for all who trust Christ, you can trust him even more for the future. And have no fear that he will continue to uphold you, love you, and he will continue his wonderful loving plan in your life. So will you trust him? How much will you trust him? How much will you rest in him? Because it is really up to you. I want to finish with a second reading, and it's from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. Do you know, I've never ever finished a sermon here with a reading, so you can do new things. God can always do new things. And this was the other reading that we put down for the morning, and it's all about trust. And it says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. And unless I'm much mistaken, we die with him, and we symbolize that in our baptism. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So can we trust God? I believe we can, and I believe we should. Amen. We're going to stand and